universal resultant past, present, and future of material time is experienced by His Divine Grace. A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Anything, either material or spiritual, is but an expansion of the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And as stated in the Bhagavad Gita 13.3, the omnipotent Lord has His transcendental eyes, heads, and other bodily parts distributed everywhere. He can see, hear, touch, or manifest Himself anywhere and everywhere, for He is present everywhere as the super soul of all infinitesimal souls, although He has His particular abode in the absolute world. The relative world is also His phenomenal representation, because it is nothing but an expansion of His transcendental energy. All that He is in His abode, His energy is distributed, although He is in His abode, His energy is distributed everywhere. Just as the sun is localized as well as expanded everywhere. Since the rays of the sun, being non-different from the sun, are accepted as expansions of the sun disk. In the Vishnu Purana, it is said that as fire expands its rays and heat from one place, similarly the Supreme Spirit, the Personality of Godhead, expands Himself by His manifold energy everywhere and anywhere. The phenomenal manifestation of the gigantic universe is only a part of His Virat body. Less intelligent men cannot conceive of the transcendental, all-spiritual form of the Lord. But they are astounded by His different energies, just as the Aborigines are struck with wonder by the manifestation of lightning, a gigantic mountain, or a hugely expanded banyan tree. The Aborigines praise the strength of the tiger and the elephant because of their superior energy and strength. The Asuras cannot recognize the existence of the Lord, although there are vivid descriptions of the Lord in the revealed scriptures. Although the Lord incarnates and exhibits His uncommon strength and energy, and although He is accepted as the Supreme Personality of Godhead by learned scholars and saints like Vyasadeva, Narada, Asitala, and Devala in the past, and by Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita, as also by the Acharyas like Shankara, Ramanuja, Madhva, and Lord Sri Chaitanya in the modern age. The Asuras do not accept any evidential proof from the revealed scriptures, nor do they recognize the authority of the great Acharyas. They want to see with their own eyes at once. Therefore, they can see the gigantic body of the Lord as Virat, which will answer their challenge. And since they are accustomed to paying homage to superior material strength, like that of the tiger, elephant, and lightning, they can offer respect to the Virat Rupa. Lord Krishna, by the request of Arjuna, exhibited His Virat Rupa for the Asuras. The pure devotee of the Lord, being unaccustomed to looking into such a mundane, gigantic form of the Lord, requires special vision for the purpose. The Lord therefore favored Arjuna with special vision for looking into His Virat Rupa, which is described in the 11th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. This Virat Rupa of the Lord was especially manifest for the benefit of Arjuna. Not the benefit of Arjuna. Intelligent class of men who accept anyone at once is an imitation of the Lord, and so mislead the general mass of people. For them, the inclination is that one should ask the cheap incarnation to exhibit his Virat Rupa and thus be established as an incarnation. The Virat Rupa manifestation of the Lord is simultaneously a challenge to the atheist and a favor for the Asuras, who can think of the Lord as Virat, and thus gradually cleanse the dirty things from their hearts in order to become qualified to actually see the transcendental form of the Lord in the near future. This is the favor of the all-merciful Lord to the atheists and the gross materialists. This gigantic manifestation of the phenomenal material world as a whole is the personal body of the Absolute Truth, wherein the universal resultant past, present, and future of material time is experienced. Today we are reading from Canto 2, Chapter 1, entitled The First Step in God Realization. Text number 24. In the previous verses, Maharaj Parikshit, that great devotee of the Lord, who was only 1 week apart from his death, has inquired from Srila Shukadeva Goswami, the son and disciple of Vyasadeva. How could one apply his mind to the conception of the Lord in such a way that all dirty things will be removed? This, in essence, is the purpose of all religion, yoga, spirituality, is to cleanse the mind. The nature of consciousness is pure. The nature of consciousness is to transparently reveal the essence of one's own self as the eternal spirit soul and its relationship with the Lord. To act according to that relationship is the ultimate goal of life. It is also the process by which we can attain that goal of life. All of the sufferings, anxieties, and various problems in the entire universe are a result of dirty mind. Unless we clean the mind, there is no possibility of making any real solutions to any of the problems in this world. So the first step in God realization, which is the title of this chapter, is to understand the process of how to clean the mind. Of course, we find here Maharaj Parikshit. He, with all sincerity and a sense of deep sincerity, urgency, he is inquiring from Shukadeva Goswami. This is the beginning of the process to approach a proper spiritual master, to receive knowledge from him, and then to serve whatever instructions he may give. Shukadeva Goswami is explaining here a process in which even the atheistic class of people who have very little conception or belief in the form of the Lord can gradually cleanse the mind by remembering Krishna. ओम पवित्र पवित्र वा सर्वावस्थम गतो यस्मरेत पुनरीकाक्षम सावयव्यंतरासि. If we remember Krishna, we become purified in whatever condition we may be in, because Krishna is all pure. We cannot, in our conditioned state, necessarily see God with our eyes. When our eyes are decorated with the ointment of love, then we can see Krishna everywhere, in and everything. That is the nature of love. Wherever you see, whatever you hear, it naturally, you experience the presence of your beloved. But those who are too much attached to the material senses and the sense objects, they can learn to see the personality of Godhead through material nature. Actually, for a devotee, understands that there are subtler realms of reality than are perceivable by the gross senses. For example, the mind, intelligence, and ego, and what is produced from them, cannot be perceived by the senses. The mind is considered the sixth sense, subtle sense. We have desires, we have thoughts. We cannot touch them or taste them or see them or even hear them. But we know they're there because they are factually the background of everything that's going on in our life and in the whole world. All of our gross activities in this world are impelled upon us by the influence of invisible, subtle thought, desire, and attachment. But Krishna says in Gita, apare amitashivanyam prakritim bidimeparam, that there is another element subtler than the gross and subtle of this world, and that is the soul. The Atma is transcendental. It is subtler than the subtlest. It is infinitesimal, 1/10,000th the size of the tip of a hair. It is of spiritual substance. And it is that soul that is the source of life, the source of consciousness, which is activating everything going on within material nature. Just as there is a jivatma within this body that gives it life and consciousness, in the same way there is a paramatma, not only within the heart of every living being, but is that source of consciousness and source of life for the entire universe and the entire cosmic manifestation. A devotee sees through the eyes of faith. Faith is the substance by which we can know God. And our spiritual evolvement is very much interdependent with the condition of our particular type of faith. Bhagavad Gita, it is explained how everyone is acting, everyone is perceiving according to their particular type of faith, as it is influenced by the three modes of material nature. Maharaji, Haribo. Now I'm very embarrassed. His Holiness Jayadurthi Maharaj just glances upon me. One who sees through the eyes of the scriptures, one who sees through the eyes of the great souls, can actually see things as they are. Acharya Upashanam. One who hears from the Acharya can understand what is what. Otherwise, All of our perceptions are under the illusory potence of the Lord. Maya means that which is not. Now, the Mayavadi class of philosophers, their conception, that which is not, means nothing exists except Brahman. If you think it exists, it is an illusion. Why? Because it is an illusion. They use the example of snake and rope. That if you think that the rope is a snake, you'll become very much disturbed. But actually, the rope is a rope. It's not a snake. It's an illusion. Therefore, if you just understand that it is not, then you will not be suffering. But actually, by this own reasoning, the Vaishnava philosophy shows its superiority. Because the fact is, the rope is a rope. And the fact is, there is a snake. If there wasn't a snake, you wouldn't mistake a rope for a snake. So the snake is not an illusion, and the rope is not an illusion. What is an illusion is the misconception that you are thinking something is what it is not. So this body is reality. This entire material manifestation of the Lord's prakriti is a reality. Janmadyashayataha. The absolute truth is him from whom everything emanates. If everything is emanating from the absolute truth, everything must be true. Darkness does not come from light. Illusion doesn't come from reality. Just like all light is coming from the sun. You'll never find darkness coming from the sun. If you turn your head away from the sun, you will see a shadow. But that is due to your conception. Actually, the sun is the source of the shadow also, but the shadow is your inability to see the sun. So Krishna has created his illusory energy. Thus we can understand that everything is real. Everything is truth. The illusion is when we do not see it in relationship with Krishna. Parasya shaktir vibhadaiva shriyate. To actually understand reality as it is, we must accept that the Lord has eternal, innumerable, inconceivable potencies. And through those potencies, everything in material and spiritual existence is coming about. 10th chapter of Gita, Krishna tells, Aham sarvasya prabhava mat sarvam pravartate iti mat bhava jante mam buddha bhava samanvita. I am the source of all spiritual and material worlds. Everything emanates from me. Everything. The wise who know this perfectly worship me with love and devotion, knowing me to be the cause of all causes and all that is. Bahunam janmanamante jnanapamam bhavatite vasudeva sarvamiti samahatma sutura. After many births and deaths, one who understands what is truth, what is knowledge, they surrender unto Krishna, knowing him to be the cause of all causes and all that is. That is Mahatma, that is a great soul. So here Shukadeva Goswami, out of his deep compassion, he is describing this type of meditation. To understand everything's relationship with the form, the personality of Godhead. Virat Rupa is meditation on all the various ingredients of the universe that we can perceive with our very eyes. Everything that is within our perception of sense is the body of the Lord. In this way, the idea of personalism is very much understood. The impersonal idea is refuted on every level for those who understand the actual Siddhanta or the conclusions of the Holy Scriptures. The atheistic class of people, the impersonalists as well, when they see the devotees worshipping the deity, they cannot understand the actual spirit of devotion that's taking place. The gross materialist is saying that how can you worship wood or stone and think that it's God? Even some people from other religions who have a poor fund of knowledge about the scientific nature of the absolute truth, they will accuse that this is simply idol worship. If there is a God, then you cannot perceive God with your senses and your mind. This is simply a material object. After all, at one time this stone was in some mountain, and then it was carved out of the mountain by the hands of men. Then it was brought to Jaipur and it was carved in so many ways, and then painted. And you're saying this is God, the cause of all causes, the origin of everything? It has an origin. But a devotee has a higher, finer understanding of the science of Krishna. Srila Prabhupada uses the example, electricity is one energy, but it can manifest so many varieties according to the receptacle in which it is in. Electricity in one place can create heat to cook. In another place, that same electricity can create a freezing cold sensation, like in an icebox or refrigerator. Electricity is one, but it has many, many variations. So similarly, Krishna's energy has unlimited variations, but he is the ultimate controller of everything. There are prominently three energies: the spiritual energy, the marginal energy, the material energy. Spiritual energy is that which Sandini, Sambit, Ladini, it is maintaining, giving cognizance and providing impetus for ecstasies in all of the spiritual world, where everything is Satchit Ananda, eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. And the material energy is composed of Gumira Bonalo Bayu Kamano Buddha Evacha Ahankara Itiyame Vina Praktirashtata. These eight material elements, actually Mahavishnu, Karanodakshai Vishnu, when he within the Mahatattva, this all of these elements are created from the subtler to the gross. And then he impregnates material energy by his glance with innumerable jiva souls. So this material energy is eternal. It is the energy of God. However, the manifestations with this material energy appear to be temporary. But actually that temporary condition is simply really means it's always in a state of changing. According to even scientific examination, it is said that you can't actually destroy matter. You can only change its form. Is that correct, Vrishabhanu Prabhu? Yes, he has a PhD in chemical science. Is that what they say? That actually this whole world, everything is just being changed. At the beginning of the creation, when Mahavishnu exhales, all universes, all the material elements are there. And then when he inhales, it all goes into its unmanifested state in his body. So actually material nature is eternal. But its manifestations are always changing. And what is the natural phenomena of material change we call death. However, mayadhyakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam hetu nani nukontiya jagati parivartate. Krishna says, I am the controller of this material nature. Everything is happening under my direction. So material nature is eternal. It is the energy of the Lord being supervised directly or indirectly by the personality of Godhead. In fact, 33 million demigods, they are all empowered by the Lord. They're people. And they're conducting all the affairs of this material existence. There's a demigod who empowers you to blink your eye. You have no power to blink your eye without a personality giving you the power to do so. So everything is is ultra personal at every level. That is material energy. Material energy is a facilitation for the jivatma who wants to try to enjoy separate from the loving service of the Lord. The jivatma is the marginal energy. Nityo nityanam chetanas chetananam eko bahunam yobhidatati kaman. This means that the jivatma is always subordinate to the Supreme Personality of Godhead in every circumstance. Simply has free will whether we want to be subordinate to the Lord through His external material energy, where there's so much of the illusion of suffering, or whether we want to be subordinate through surrendering at His lotus feet to His all blissful, eternal, spiritual energy. So real knowledge is to understand how Krishna is the cause of all causes, sarva karana karanam, and how He is a person. Even Mr. Einstein, at the end of his life, he came to the conclusion that mathematically, the universe, as we see it and know it, it is utterly impossible to exist as it is unless there is a superior intelligence, a supreme brain that is behind it all. It's simply impossible that all of this can be happening by chance. Brahma Samhita describes the impersonal Brahman to be the effulgence of the body of the Supreme Lord Govinda, who is residing in Goloka. And Srila Prabhupada explains, according to Shastras, that the sun and the moon, the source of all light within the entire universe, is a reflection of the light of the Brahma Jyoti emanating from Krishna's body. So Krishna's body is the source of everything. It is the means of sustenance for everybody at all times. To understand this is knowledge. Herein, Shukadeva Goswami is teaching us how to see everything within the creation in a personal way as part of the body of the Lord. The sun and the moon are His eyes, because actually without the sun and the moon, nobody can see. So the sun and the moon are giving vision to everyone, everywhere. We see because God sees. We hear because God hears. We taste because God tastes. We have no power to do so unless its origin is in Krishna. Something doesn't come from nothing. Krishna is that supreme something, that supreme someone, whom everything exists, everything emanates. The greatest aspiration and pleasure within the entire existence is love. Why? Because the soul, by its own constitutional nature, is to love God, to love Krishna. And to search for any substitute for that all-attractive person who is the recipient of all loving rasas, that is ignorance. And ignorance is the cause of all bondage and suffering. Om agyanti mirandasya gyananjana chalakaya chakshurunmilitam yena tasmai sri guru venuma. The spiritual master with the torch of knowledge takes us out of our blind condition where we're in darkness. We can see who we are and what is truth. Krishna explains in fourth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, one who thus knows the truth understands that all living beings are in me, they are of me, and they are mine. So Krishna consciousness, which is the very, very summum bonum of all spiritual knowledge, is to learn how to see Krishna everywhere and in everything. For a devotee, Prabhupada explained how we can see Krishna everywhere and in everything. A devotee asked him, Srila Prabhupada, he pointed toward his desk, and you see my spectacles? When you see my spectacles, what do you think? The devotee said, as soon as I see those spectacles, I think these are Prabhupada's spectacles. Srila Prabhupada says, this is how we see Krishna everywhere. Sarva Loka Maheshwaram. Krishna is the proprietor of everything. Daram Jagatapasam. Krishna is he's the object of all sacrifices. He's the supreme enjoyer. When we learn to see everything as Krishna's property meant to be utilized for Krishna's service, then we are seeing Krishna everywhere. A materialistic person sees a flower and thinks, oh, let me smell this and enjoy. Or if he's a little more elevated, he's thinking, let me give this to my girlfriend so she can enjoy. Then she will be very disposed toward making me happy. But a devotee, when sees a flower, just sees the miracle of Krishna and wants to reciprocate with that miracle by offering with love to Krishna. Patram pushpam palam toyam yomi bhakta priyachita. If you just offer that little flower or fruit, water, to Krishna with some devotion, Krishna accepts it, he reciprocates. That is the fulfillment of our heart's greatest need. At this very moment when we were driving here to Sri Sri Radha Ras Bihari Temple, we passed the international headquarters for the Bharatiya Vidya Bhavan in Chopati, Bombay. And there's a big, big sign. K. Lau, magician, is performing there tonight. I'm not advertising, I'm just using this as an example. He's performing tonight, and there's pictures of this magician with hats and capes, and he's doing tricks. So people are very much excited to see magicians. Srila Prabhupada gave an example. He said, if a human being can bark just like a dog, we have Dinabandhu Prabhu. He can make any sound in such a way that it just energizes devotees' hearts with bliss. Dog? He only describes the animals of Vrindavan. So, Prabhupada said, if a man can bark just like a dog, then people will pay so much money to hear him barking like a dog. But actually, all over the streets there's dogs barking, and they're throwing stones at them. Get away from here, get away from here. So the best man could do is imitate. So this magician, he's doing so many nice tricks, which appear to be actually the reason magicians make so much money is because they can do things that you can't do. If you can do what they could do, you won't pay to see them do it. You can't do it. Your mother, your father, your brothers, your friends, your colleagues, they can't do it, so we'll pay to see him do it. Something apparently extraordinary. Now, there's different types of magicians. There's the people who pull a rabbit out of the hat because they know the trick of somehow or other secretly hiding a rabbit and bringing him out in such a way that nobody sees how you do it. Or there's mystic yogis with Prapti Siddhi who can actually create a rabbit. Creating means he actually, by mystic powers, he can take it from another place. So there's grosser and subtler magicians. And it appears like a miracle. They're sawing a lady in half. And then all of a sudden, after she's sawed in half, she comes dancing. And everybody claps their hands and throws money. But what is Krishna doing? We're so dull. We're so ignorant that wherever we see, everywhere our eyes rest 24 hours a day when we're in the waking state, we're seeing an incredible miracle. A miracle that is so far beyond any magician. Every blade of grass, every tree. Can a magician put an entire banyan tree in a little tiny seed, hardly a millimeter in size, and make it grow, and then create so many other fruits and seeds from that? It's a miracle. Bombay has 12 million people walking around. Every one is a miracle. Just think of the origin of a human being. The man, whatever he does, the woman, they don't know what's going on. Sometimes they want it, sometimes they don't, but somehow or other, some little seed gets emulsified and then it becomes a little person. And it's living inside the body. Can you live inside of some woman's body? But somehow or other, by the miracle of God, everything is so scientifically, technologically adjusted that that little baby can just grow up in its early childhood in the womb of a mother. Then it comes out. It's not that everything's happening by chance. Babies are coming out of the ears and babies are coming out of the nostrils. Babies come out the same way. What a science. What a miracle. And then every need that that child has is being provided by nature. The sun shines, it evaporates water, it creates clouds. Cloud. You hear that airplane? That airplane flies through clouds. It's really an incredible miracle. What is a cloud? A cloud contains billions of liters of water. Now, we have water tanks. How much structural engineering it takes to hold up a big water tank because of the weight of the water. But we have seen in Bombay, one cloud will create such a flood that the entire city is devastated. Every year it's like that, right? The airports are closed down, the railway stations are closed down, people are swimming in the streets of Bombay. And all that water is coming from one cloud. And yet, the airplane can fly right through the cloud and not even get wet. And the cloud is floating. It's just floating. That means it's lighter than air. Hare Krishna. It's a miracle. And if it wasn't for those clouds, there wouldn't be rain. If there wasn't for rain, there wouldn't be food. And how does the food grow? It's little seeds. Nobody created the seeds. Man cannot create a seed. he can do these hybrid processes of trying to genealogically or genetically mix the seeds, but he can't create a seed. How many seeds are there created by the Lord? They're all spontaneously developing from themselves. And when the water and the sunlight and the earth is our mother. The earth has such nutrients. No seed could grow without the nutrients and the minerals of the earth. And all these things are combining and creating food. Anad bhavanti bhutani parashanyana nishambhava. And that food is just the absolute perfect thing to nourish life. Miracle. Everywhere is a miracle. Every person is a miracle. Every atomic particle is a miracle. And yet we're just walking by dull-brained as anything. Just, what an ordinary world. Let me go see K. Lao, see some magic. Pay 50 rupees, see some magic to relieve the boredom of life in this miserable world. But a devotee who's Krishna conscious sees that the supreme magician, by his various energies, by his mercy, everything is happening in such an incredible way. Once on the west coast sunset, the devotees were very happy to see this sunset. It was very beautiful. They said to Prabhupada, "Isn't this a beautiful sunset? Golden light glistening upon the Pacific Ocean and illuminating the sky." And Prabhupada said, if you think the art is beautiful, you should see the artist. Krishna says in Gita, everything that is beautiful and opulent in the entire existence of creation is but a spark of his splendor. When we understand Krishna, and we understand that ultimately everything exists on the basis of Krishna's love, that everything we experience simply invokes our love. When Prabhupada was walking on a morning walk in the Bowery of New York City, this is in the 60s when the Bowery actually was really a Bowery. Today it's quite a nice place, but in those days it was very much run down, poverty, degradation. And there were rats crawling around, and there was all garbage on the streets and drunken people laying there. And the devotees said, "Prabhupada, we're sorry we brought you to this place." Prabhupada said, "Oh, you do not see, it is Vaikuntha." Prabhupada is seeing Krishna. That is the beauty of life, to learn how to see everything coming from Krishna. On one level, a devotee sees material life as a source of misery. That is to protect us from trying to enjoy. If we try to enjoy separate from Krishna, it is a source of misery. But even material elements are a source of bliss if we see it in relationship to Krishna. To see in relationship with Krishna means to see it according to our constitutional relationship with Krishna, that we are his eternal servants. Therefore, Krishna consciousness is very simple. It simply means whatever we perceive, we understand that it is an opportunity to serve. Everything is meant for Krishna's satisfaction. Therefore, the deity in the temple, it is not a piece of stone. It is Krishna Satchidananda form directly. How? Because it's Krishna's inconceivable potencies. He's the source of all of his energies. He's created stone. If he wants to personally appear, then that stone becomes Satchidananda. It becomes pure spiritual energy, even though we can touch it, we can see it. That is Krishna's power. You may think, but Lord Nityananda's eyes, they were painted on. I even know the artist who painted them. Yes? Some chemical paint was put over some stone. How am I to understand that this is actually Lord Nityananda's eyes? But factually, is not that paint, is not that stone the energies of Krishna? If Krishna wants to full-fledged manifest himself within that, not only within, but as that paint and stone, then that apparent, what appears to be paint and stone, is actually Lord Nityananda's eye. He's seeing you through there. Every limb of the deity's body is the deity's form. It is Krishna's form in his various incarnations, according to the deity. That is the power of the Lord. That it is pure, Satchidananda, spiritual substance. Opposite condition. That is the mercy of the Lord. Therefore, we see the great acharyas in our scriptures, how they worship the deity of the Lord. Jiva Goswami. Actually, Radha Damodar was carved by the hands of Rupa Goswami. But by his desire, Damodar personally was that deity. It's not that Damodar is in the deity. Damodar is the deity. It's not stone. Satchidananda. But simultaneously stone so that we can see. So one day Jiva Goswami was doing his seva and he heard a flute playing. So he ran to the deity room and there he saw Damodar dancing and playing his flute for the pleasure of Jiva Goswami. Jiva Goswami was so much enraptured and ecstatic bliss. He talked to the deity. When he was serving the deity, he was performing his eternal lila in the spiritual world directly. The deity is not a representation of God. This is what the Mayavadis will say. That the deity is a representation of God to fix our mind on the Shuddha-Sattva aspect of the form of the Lord. But ultimately, when you attain the liberated state, then you realize you don't need this Sattva-Guna form of the Lord. We don't need the Sattva-Guna idea of the form of the Lord or the name of the Lord. Because they don't understand Krishna's inconceivable will. He becomes the deity. And similarly, the name of the Lord. Although we can hear it with our ears, the name is none different than Krishna. Nama Chintamani Krishna Chaitanya Rasvigraha. All the opulences, all the powers, all the glories of God is within his name. It's inconceivable. But that is the meaning of Krishna. Chintya Shakti. He has inconceivable potencies. He's appearing in his name. He's appearing in the deity out of his causeless mercy to attract our hearts again back to his loving service. what Srila Prabhupada did for Sri Sri Radha Ras Bihari. Someone so learned, someone with such profound compassion and realization. Here in Juhu, Bombay, there was just a little shack in which Sri Sri Radha Ras Bihari was residing. And Prabhupada promised them that he would build a beautiful temple. And how many hardships, how much aversion there was to his mission. Didn't Prabhupada say it was one of the greatest fights of his life? Fighting for this place. It took years against all odds. It was an impossible situation. Why did he do it? Because he promised Radharas Bihari there would be a temple here. I remember 1974 when Prabhupada was at New Vrindavan. He was constantly getting these telegrams from Giriraj Swami. Some very, very critical issue that was being fought upon for the service of Radharas Bihari. So much energy, so much life to please the deity. Why? Because he is seeing Radhar. He's not seeing a temporary representation of Krishna. He is seeing Sri Sri Radharani and Sri Sri Ras Bihari. With his eyes. He's loving them with his heart. He's serving them with his life and soul. And why did he build this beautiful temple? So that millions and millions of people from all over the world will come to see the beautiful Satchit Ananda Vigraha of Sri Sri Radha Ras Bihari. Built this temple in such a way that he wanted first class wonderful devotees who create a culture within the temple which will attract people and educate people how to actually see Krishna in the deity, how to love Krishna in the deity, and how to have full realization that Krishna is non-different than his name. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
This gigantic manifestation of the phenomenal material world as a whole is the personal body of the Absolute Truth, wherein the universal resultant past, present, and future of material time is experienced. Is there any questions? Enter the deity and become the deity. He can go out of the deity and not be the deity. Krishna has all powers according to his sweet will. Very well. Is there any other questions? Yes, Prabhu. You already know the answer. But just to engage me in your service, you are asking me. Ekalavya Prabhu, for the sake of maintaining his vow of asking questions in every class. If he didn't ask a question, he would lose his reputation. Somehow he had to think of something to ask. So he is asking if Lord Chaitanya ever manifested Virat Rupa. One day at the house of Srivas Thakur, Sri Advaita Prabhu was in the mood of the ecstasy of the gopis, love and separation. He was feeling such intense separation from Lord Govinda that he was rolling on the ground and weeping and crying in ecstasy. The devotees were trying to somehow pacify him, but he was just rolling and rolling and roaring. And somehow the other devotees pacified him. So he was sitting. The devotees decided that they will all go to Ganga to take bath. So they all went to take bath in Ganga. However, in Sri Advaita Prabhu's heart, again erupted that volcanic experience of the love of the gopis and separation. And again he started roaring and weeping and crying and trembling and rolling on the ground. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was walking through Navadvipa at the time, and he knew exactly what was taking place in Sri Advaita Charya's heart. So he came there. And he brought Advaita Prabhu from the courtyard into the temple room. And Advaita Prabhu was very, very happy that the Lord had come to pacify his heart. And the Lord said, please, ask any benediction and I will reward you. Sri Advaita Charya, he said, my Lord, you are standing before me. All my desires are fulfilled. There's nothing else I want anywhere. The Lord said, no, please. I want to give you a benediction. Ask any boon. Sri Advaita Prabhu, he incarnated in this world. He's simultaneously Sadashiva and Mahavishnu, specifically to teach the science of pure devotional service. It was for that purpose that with loud cries and tears flowing from his eyes did he petition Lord Krishna in his original form to descend to the world to establish the Yuga Dharma of Hari Sankirtan. So Advaitacharya's, his only desire is to please the Lord by facilitating his preaching mission. He was truly the preacher. Whatever he did in this world was simply for the sake of the fallen conditioned souls. Because he knew that's what would please the Lord. You want to give me a boon, O Lord? Give me this boon. What Arjuna saw while on the chariot in Kurukshetra, I want to see that. Actually, Arjuna, Prabhupada explains in this purport, Krishna didn't show Virat Rupa for Arjuna. He didn't need to see. He didn't even like to see it, actually. But Arjuna wanted to see it for the sake of the conditioned souls in this world, so that they could understand how this entire universal creation is the body of the personality of God. And it should be seen that way. And also, knowing in Kali Yuga, so many people will claim to be God. Some people say, you're God, I'm God, everyone's God. The only thing is we've forgotten that we're God. But I've come to remember you, to remind you that you are God. Be still and know that you are God. And if someone has a few little mystic powers, then people worship them as God, and even they start thinking themselves to be God. So today there are so many gods, so many avatars, by dint of some mysticism, some charisma, some higher knowledge, some ability to control the minds of others. But Arjuna wanted to establish the standard. Anyone who says they're God Let them reveal the Virat Rupa.
Hare Krishna.
Now I heard that one person, very famous person, claims to be God, who is worshipped as God. Somebody asked, will you show me the Virat Rupa? The person said, yes, I can, but you do not have the eyes to see. But Krishna gave Arjuna the eyes to see. So if you're God, give me the eyes to see. But they cannot. If they gave you the eyes to see, then you would know that they're completely bogus and you're being cheated. So they don't want to give you the eyes to see. So actually, Virat Rupa is the standard. If you're actually an incarnation or the Lord Himself, then show Virat Rupa. When Advaita Prabhu asked, please show me what Arjuna saw in Kurukshetra, all of a sudden, Advaita Prabhu saw himself standing on a chariot. And he saw Kurukshetra. He was in Kurukshetra. He saw two armies facing each other with hundreds of thousands, millions of soldiers in each army. Then he saw the Lord manifest Virat Rupa. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu manifested the universal form. He saw this form of the Lord had thousands of heads, thousands of arms, thousands of legs. He saw innumerable beings entering into his flaming mouths in the form of time. He's devouring everyone. He saw demigods in all directions worshipping the Lord. He saw the sun, the moon, all the mountains, all the oceans, all the worlds within the body of the Lord. He was standing with folded hands, worshipping Virat Rupa. Nityananda Prabhu was playfully traveling around Nadia at that time. And he was thinking in his heart, ah, very nice, just now, my beloved Mahaprabhu, Sri Chaitanya, he is Nimai, my beloved Gauranga, he is just now showing Virat Rupa to Advaita, I want to see it too. So he went running to that place, and he knocked on the door. And Lord Chaitanya opened the door. I guess the Virat Rupa opened the door. And he came inside, and there I was. The universal form of the Lord. And Advaita and Nityananda Prabhu, they were offering their prayers and obeisances to Virat Rupa. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started dancing, and they started dancing. They were having kirtan in the presence of Virat Rupa. Then everything disappeared, and there was just Lord Vishwambhara. And he left, walked out the door to go home. And Advaita Prabhu, he looked at, first of all, that Advaita and Nityananda Prabhu, they were just in ecstasy. They were embracing, they were rolling on the ground, they were chanting, Hari, Hari. Then Advaita Charya came back to a little bit of external consciousness and said, who invited you? That darshan was for me. I never told you you could come. In this way, they had very playful exchange. But in this story, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed that actually he is God. When he was asked to do the Virat Rupa, he did it, full-fledged. Actually, when Arjuna saw the universal form, he was actually quite afraid. He started apologizing. My Lord, we would sit together, we would eat together, we would joke together, we would lay down together. Please forgive me. Now I know, you know, who you are. This is, he's seeing Bhishma and Drona being devoured by his mouth. He was very much frightened. He said, "My Lord, please, please, tell me who you are." And the Lord, "Time I am, destroyer of everything." And Arjuna begged him, "Please come back to your normal form as I know you." Then he manifested his forearm form of Vishnu, and then again Krishna. So this is also very instructive. For people who are materialistically minded, the Virat Rupa is the very awesome, all-powerful, all-devouring form of the Lord within material nature. But for a devotee, he wants to see Shamsundar. That beautiful, that the source of the Virat Rupa is Gopal. Little Gopal, who attracts our hearts. When there is thunder in Vrindavan, then Gopal becomes afraid. Jumps up, runs to Yashoda, crying, "Please protect me, please protect me." And Yashoda is very much afraid. Yashoda Mai is thinking the monkeys may scratch him, or the insects may bite him, or the cows may kick him. So she's always worrying about his safety. And sometimes he's crying because he's so hungry. And she feeds him nice fresh butter. This is the original form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna is playing his flute. Sometimes he's a little child. But all the power and all the glory of Mahavishnu, universal form, are just insignificant manifestations of his energies. Plenary portion of a portion of a portion of a portion. But the ultimate goal is not simply to fear the wrath and the power of God. The ultimate goal is to intimately love God as one's dearest friend, lover. That is what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to give to the world. Therefore, Rupa Goswami prayed, "Namo Mahabharanyaya Krishna Prema Pradaya Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namane Godad Vishnu." So many religions of the world are describing and trying to serve God as the all-powerful one, punishing sinners with thunderbolts and rewarding the pious with some majestic opulence. However, the sweetest exchange of pure love is only possible in Goloka, or when it comes to this world as Gokula, by Lord Govinda, Shri Radha Ras Vihari. And Prabhupada, by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Srila Prabhupada has come. He has come to this grossly materialistic city and established Radharani and Ras Vihari, Radharani and Gopinath, Radharani and Gididhari, most intimate, loving forms of the Lord, who we can eternally enter into their lila simply by becoming attached to serving in the spirit of servant of the servant of the servant. By the mercy of Guru and Gauranga, we can attain all perfections by chanting the holy names.